you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello. We're here at The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly.
LiveParanormal.com.
Weekly. Weekly at LiveParanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigatti from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. She rocks!
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress, author Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host. Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Celebrating her 9th anniversary as the ghost host, it's Sophia Temporelli right here on LiveParanormal.com.
The Ghost Host.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com, where this is hands down the world's most unique paranormal broadcast. Starting at 12 years old, Sophia Temporelli hosted and discussed all the latest hot topics with all the paranormal field experts themselves, and today is no exception. But congratulations, Sophia, on over 9 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. And also, too, that voice you heard at the beginning of the show, that's Mike Laponis, and he's the director of Crossroads Communications, and feel free to give him a call for all of your voice over needs. That's MikesVO.com. That's MikesVO.com. Your call-ins are welcome today, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. Hope everyone's keeping safe out there, and feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. Today, we welcome number one hit Los Angeles station, 102.7 KISS FM broadcaster and Paranormalish iHeartRadio host, JoJo Wright. Everyone, visit Paranormalish.com. That's Paranormalish.com. Twitter and Instagram at JoJo Wright. at official JoJo Wright, kissfm.iheart.com. YouTube search The Adventures of JoJo. Upcoming, we have Travel Channel's Ghost Loop Key Paranormal Investigator Chris Wright next week. That'll be on the 12th. And also, too, we have pretty FN spooky YouTube and TikTok sensation Amanda Paulson. She'll be talking ghost on this program. Just as we come back from the Christmas break, so we'll be playing some best of. So that'll be on the 9th of January coming up. You don't want to miss any of these broadcasts. Guests are booking their dates, too, as well for the show. So like the Ghost Host on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Also, too, like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of great new paranormal investigative team member panel roundups on the weekends, and a lot of great new broadcasters added to the venue here. Liveparanormal.com, the memberships, they start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience. And also, too, if you're getting a grandma a Melmeter for her birthday or for Christmas coming up, you know, make sure you support the vendors here on LP. Tonight, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghostlight Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more. Archive shows, if you miss anything, they're available immediately following the program as free MP4 iTunes download. So without any further ado, we'll bring on the Ghost Host here. Sophia, congratulations. 9 years of broadcasting. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 9 years.
I know you've helped a lot of people in the field. Last week, you were on the recap interview. You were interviewed for the Dark Zone Network, you know, regarding the Queen Mary Halloween weekend investigation. We'll be talking to that momentarily with JoJo as well. So how'd that go?
It went great. The Dark Zone always does great events. And, yeah, it's still a lot of fun to talk to everyone again and to get to hear a little bit about other people's perspective from that night.
Yeah, it was a fantastic event. And creepy to see the ship in that condition. It hadn't been open since March to the public, minimal staff, 0.25% of the power. So just a really creepy environment to just check out through the Dark Zone. They have a lot of great events coming up ahead. You got the YouTube. You got some new videos that are being posted there, too, as well. But, yeah, Sophia, tell us about our guest today.
Today we welcome Los Angeles 102.7 KISS FM broadcaster, iHeartRadio, and Paranormalish host, JoJo Wright. Everyone visit Paranormalish.com, Twitter, Instagram, at JoJo Wright, at official JoJo Wright, at KISS FM. Go to kissfm.iheart.com, YouTube, The Adventures of JoJo, and let's welcome him into the show.
All right, let's see here. Trying to untoggle the muting feature here. Any second. Okay, hey, thanks for coming on, JoJo.
Hey, how you guys doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on today.
It's a pleasure. I didn't realize I just met Sophia just for the first time on the Queen Mary the other day. And to hear you've been doing this show for 9 years, I mean, you started when you were like four. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, I've been an investigator since I was eight, but I started my show at 12. So it's been a long time.
Goodness gracious. Well, I want to get you on my podcast at some point. She was telling me about the encounter she had as a kid, the house you lived in. I didn't get the full story because it was a bit, you know, we were kind of being pulled in multiple directions on the Queen Mary, you know, but I do want to get your story at some point. But the Queen Mary, I don't know where you want to start at. I can talk forever, so shut me up and ask questions or whatever you want to do. But the Queen Mary was, I've been on the Queen Mary quite a few times, obviously, but I've never been on the Queen Mary when nobody was there except for staff and investigators, of course, but that was just a rush, just that fact alone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, we were in two different groups that night, but so I didn't get to see what you experienced. What actually happened for you in B340, and what was it like for you investigating with practically no one there? Was it a different feeling from the previous time she had been there?
To be honest with you, let me say one thing about the Queen Mary first. I know the Dark Zone, that's a really cool organization that I just got introduced to just before this Queen Mary event. and walking onto that ship. And I know they've done previous investigations on, I think it was the Lizzie Borden house and the Conjuring house, which are smaller locations. They're just smaller places. But the amount of wire and the amount of cable they had to run to go from room to room with the Queen Mary, that it's like wiring a mall. It's massive. So that must have taken them forever. So that was pretty impressive. But I'd been on the Queen Mary, you know, quite a few times. One of the most, and this didn't happen, you know, when you and I were there. But I'll just go tell you what I've done in the past. There's the cargo hold room at the very, gosh, I'm so bad with, you know, what they call the front of the ship and the back of the ship. But if you're standing on the, you know, on the side, you know, in the parking lot, the left side, I'll call that the left side, whatever that is. The cargo hold, which they used to transport, you know, cargo, not to mention prisoners during the war. At one point I got, you know, they let me lower myself into that cargo hold room. And it is absolutely frightening. Nothing happened to me in the room. This is, before, once again, a previous investigation. But it is, you're at the rock bottom part of the ship, and it's the one place you can go where if you did drill a hole, you'd hit water. Everything else, you'd hit a deck below. This is one of those places where you're at the very bottom, and you have to stand still because you can't, if something scares you, you can't, you know, move or run because you'll trip over, you know, the parts of the floor are missing and whatnot. Then they, you know, when you're down there 30 feet below the door, I should have said that part, they had to, you have to walk across a rail, then kind of shimmy down this ladder, and you get in your spot, and I was walkie-talkie and I'm back and forth to the top, and I said, all right, shut the door. And they shut this door, and it's pitch dark down there. One of these days, I want to go back into that room and talk about feeling alone. I want to go back there and do something there. But I've been all over the Queen Mary. But this is back to the dark zone investigation where you and I were at. To be there with no staff is just crazy to think, because there's always somebody on the ship. And you, anytime you have voices talking, you hear something you think might be a spirit or some sort of, you know, the ghost, we'll call it, you always wonder, well, is it somebody talking in the other room? Is it somebody in the lounge? Is it somebody having a, you know, just having fun? And this is the first time where if you heard something, you can pretty much, you know, you can almost bet it's, you know, it's not from one of the people, hopefully, if you're doing the investigations right. But I spent some time in that room B340. And I'd been in room B340 before, but the time I was in there was they had the furniture taken out because they removed it from, you know, at a certain point, I guess, they had so many complaints or, you know, things happening that they pulled it off the market so people couldn't, they couldn't rent the room. But, you know, with last couple of years, they put it back on the market. B340, you can go in there, and a lot of people request it, obviously. This is the first time I've been in there where they had furniture. And it was cool to sit in there. We had quite a few people in there, a couple of the investigators, you know, and, of course, the host in there and whatnot. And this is the first time I've ever experienced the Estes method, which had you done that many times before, the Estes method, before this dark zone, or did you do it there?
Yeah, I did it at the Queen Mary, and it was my first time trying it. It's really weird. It makes you kind of feel like 11 from Stranger Things.
Yeah, it is. It's a cool thing. And I, you know, when they first brought it up, they said, "Hey, we're going to do the Estes method." And I tried to act kind of cool, like I knew what it was, but I had no idea what they were talking about. Like, what is it painful? But the Estes method, I find extremely cool. It's called the Estes method because it was developed in Estes Park, Colorado, home of the Stanley Hotel, where Stephen King had his experience, which inspired him to write The Shining, which I just spent a little bit of time there the previous year, which was just, that hotel's crazy. But the Estes method, if you guys listening don't know what it is, you know, we sat in the bed, you can sit anywhere, obviously, but we sat in this bed in B340, and they blindfolded us, and they put these noise canceling headphones on us, and they piped in basically a spirit box, you know, the rolling static. And you hear, you know, voices pop in from time to time. What the voices are, I'm still working out the, you know, I guess I'm trying to, you know, rationalize, does it work or not? But you hear these voices spitting, you know, from time to time through the static. And when you hear something, you know, as you're under and you're blindfolded, of course, we had the mask on, too, because of COVID. And when you hear something, you spit out what you hear. Like if you hear a voice go, hey, JoJo, you scream, hey, JoJo. At the same time, the people without, you know, the mask on and the noise canceling, you know, they're asking questions to the spirits in the room. And every now and then they match up and you're, you know, maybe that's a, you know, hopefully that's a way to communicate and pull voices out. And who, I don't know if it works. I mean, what's your, I'm still, to me, the most, I guess, effective method of investigating, it, I guess it's the most convincing to me, is audio video. Now, granted, I think some of these, you know, toys and gadgets that we all love were made popular by TV shows, which, you know, and I plan to do a TV show on the paranormal someday. That's one of my things, that's on my bucket list to do, you know. And if I, you know, if and when I get a chance to do this show, I'm going to use some of these gadgets, because you can't fill 60 minutes or 46 minutes or whatever of TV time of, you know, ghost investigators walking around going, what was that? Did you hear that? That would be a pretty boring TV show for, you know, 60 minutes going, did you hear that? So you need some of these gadgets to fill the time. And, you know, there's some interesting theories behind these gadgets. But the main thing that really works, obviously, is audio video. And but that being said, I did enjoy the Estes method. And it was, it's something new, and or new to me. And I found it fascinating. And we went over some of the evidence the other day. I'm not sure if it all matched up, or if it achieved the goal we were the goals we were looking for. But it was certainly fascinating.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing in the paranormal is the technology helps so much. I mean, you're able to kind of find things and figure things out with it that you wouldn't have otherwise, like with thermal and FLIR.
Right.
But the thing is, the basics are still sometimes the best equipment to use. EVP recorders, using your body to just kind of feel where you should go. And I think that's kind of the delicate balance between, you know, using what is in the past and may not be the most exciting, but also very useful, and also just kind of combining the new generation and the new technology and seeing how they kind of fit together.
I think
that's the thing.
100% agree. I love the, like you said, the thermals, you know, the, I love the SLS cam theory, you know, which that's something I really love. The SLS cam, and one of the guys on the Dark Zone turned me on to an app that, you know, normally some of these apps you think, are these things legit, you know, as legit as they can be in our, in this crazy profession. But he turned me on to an app that was pretty cool, that was an SLS cam. And I love that the SLS cam is, the way it was described to me is basically, you know, if you have a PlayStation game, you know, play Xbox, PlayStation, whatever, and it's like a dancing game. So the camera points at you, and, of course, it reads your body, and then you dance around and move, and the character on the screen moves based on, you know, your movements. It's basically doing that to a ghost, in theory, and I kind of – I get that in a way. You know, still doesn't override basic audio video, but it's a fascinating piece of equipment. I'm glad whoever thought of that worked that into the paranormal world, because it's really I don't know. I find that one, that's one of my favorite gadgets, so to speak, aside from the original, like I keep saying, the audio video.
Yeah, I agree. I love the combination of gaming and paranormal. It's my two favorite things, so you can't really go wrong there.
No doubt, right?
But besides the Dark Zone, I know that you also are a radio host on KISS FM. Can you tell us kind of where you got your start in radio and how you eventually ended up on JoJo on the Radio on KISS FM?
Yeah, I mean, I started off, if you want the, I'll keep the boring part, you know, short, but started off in Texas, little kid growing up in Texas, and somehow I got the bug for radio, and I started off a couple of small stations. You know, this is like when I was, I started off the summer between junior high and high school. I mean, it was a station that nobody listened to. It was a little tiny station, but it was cool, you know. You start sending your demo tapes out, and you start moving around, and, you know, I got a job in Anaheim, California years ago. Then I got a job in Charlotte, North Carolina. Then I got a job in San Francisco. Things, you know, start getting a little bigger markets and whatnot. And I finally got an offer to come to Los Angeles and to come to KISS FM, which, you know, I'm not saying this because I work there, but KISS FM is just one of those stations that you just, especially in the pop music world, that you want to work at. And when I got the offer to come to KISS FM, man, I was just like, sign me up. Let's go. And I've been here, God, I'm going to sound like I'm 100, but I'm not. I started off in late 97, early 98, I think it was, and on KISS FM. And it's back in the days where, you know, when I first started, Rick Dees was the morning show host, and, you know, worked with him for a couple of years. And then, you know, I was doing a different time slot, of course, but I've been there ever since, and it's just – there's something about it. Now, my job is I started off when I first got there doing the overnight slot, which, you know, I didn't want to do. I'd never done – I wasn't doing overnights in previous markets. But, you know, they said, hey, you want to come down here? I said, Jody, we got nothing right now, but we'd love to have you down. It's an overnight slot, and we'll move you to an earlier slot, you know, when things – they were planning on shuffling things. So my big forte at that point was doing evenings. I did the evening slot. That was my thing, and it was my thing for a long time until just recently. But I was doing the evenings in San Francisco. They said, hey, come down. So I took it overnight. The plan was, like I said, to move me to evenings, not the overnight. As soon as I got down to L.A., about two or three months later, the program director, the PD that hired me, got fired. So I thought, oh, God, when somebody that hires you gets fired, then you're no longer their priority. You know, that's kind of how it is in any business. So I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm stuck. I'm going to be on the overnights, and this is awful. Granted, I was at KISS FM, but I wasn't in a slot that I wanted to be at. Turns out the new program director that came in, he did the same switch and put me on evenings, where I wanted to be. That's kind of what I was known for, but I thought, oh my God, I was toast. Well, I jumped on the evenings, luckily things worked out, and it's been going ever since. Now I'm about to start the afternoon show here, beginning of 2021. I've been doing it somewhat throughout 2020, but officially it'll start in 2021. But what I do is my main thing is I take callers, play music and interview a lot of artists. If you name anyone in the pop world, I probably talk to them, multiple times, specifically that pop, format kind of thing, from the Britney Spears to the Selena Gomez to the One Directions to Marshmello, Justin Bieber's and all those. I've talked to those, that bunch quite a few times and developed some great relationships over the years, and that's kind of how that started. And as far as the paranormal thing, I've just had a passion for the paranormal ever since I was a kid, and I think this is how it started. This is what I tell people, but I don't really know, and I'll explain what I mean by that. My mom, when we were kids, my mom would take me and my sister Kelly, and she would go get us some food. We would we didn't have a ton of cash. Grew up in a little mobile home in Texas. We were happy though. It's all good. But she would take us to Subway or KFC. I don't know why those two stick in my head. Maybe she took us to more places, but those two. Yeah, can't hate Subway. But she'd take us to Subway, and then we'd get our sandwiches, and we'd go sit in the graveyard to eat it. And we weren't visiting like an uncle so and so or aunt so and so who had passed. I didn't know anybody in the graveyard as far as someone, family members and whatnot. But she would take us there. I think it was this little courtyard that she liked that was, kind of pretty. Mm-hmm. We'd sit there and we'd eat our sandwiches. Of course, being a little kid, I would start to run around these graveyards. And, your imagination starts to go. And maybe I saw something, maybe I didn't. But that right there was enough spark to get me going. And here I am years later just obsessed with it. And I think that's kind of where it got started. And I would start to work it in, that passion for the paranormal, in all these radio stations. Now, the pop music, format, there was no program director that ever said, hey, you should be a paranormal investigator and talk about this stuff on the air. But I just started to work it in on my own, and it became kind of big for me. And people started to, associate me with that, in a lot of ways. I've done investigations in random houses and San Francisco and even Philadelphia. I was in Philly for a few minutes, and I would do these investigations live on the radio. And granted, that's a lot of I'm not on TV, or it wasn't a visual component to a lot of these investigations. A lot of it was just audio, but that would even really mess with people's imaginations. It's kind of like reading a book versus seeing a movie. Your imagination goes wild listening to it. So I really played off of that, and it really worked for me. But I do want to take this more to more visually. Speaking of TV later on, but doing these investigations over the years, and certainly in L.A., I mean, it's really taken off for me in L.A., my association with the paranormal. And I would do, not just around Halloween, but year-round, people who have seen, real ghosts, have you lived in a haunted house? Who's had a real paranormal encounter? Even the UFO, side of things and all that stuff. I've had these conversations over the years with listeners, and I've heard some crazy stories. And of course, all the artists that come in, I'll ask almost every artist, have you had a paranormal encounter? And if you ever hear an interview with me with an artist and I don't ask that question, that means I've either asked them that before or I've asked them that before we went on the air, and they had nothing to say, so I just didn't ask them. But I generally ask almost every artist about a paranormal story. And the reason I find these artists at times are, you know, have some good stories is, you know, if you believe in the theory that, you know, these older houses and hotels around the world, you know, some can be haunted, where they tour around, and they sometimes stay in some of these hotels, and more so than the average person. And I've heard some pretty cool things. Yeah, so that's not to talk your head off. Maybe that's what I'm here for. I don't know. But shut me up and ask me any questions you want. But that's basically, in a nutshell, how the radio thing started and how the paranormal thing started. And then, of course, I started the podcast about 2 years ago. I guess I should say that, yeah. My podcast, it's called Paranormalish. And the reason I called it Paranormalish is because, you know, obviously the main thing on there is the paranormal. My bread and butter in the paranormal world is the ghost and the spirit phenomenon. But I called it Paranormalish so I could branch off into, you know, obviously the UFO phenomenon and other things as well. But I might bring on someone at some point to talk about, you know, maybe a horror movie segment, you know, or something like that. So it's paranormal-ish.
Yeah.
But the bread and butter, 90% of it is probably, you know, it's based in the ghost world. And just because that's what I love, although the current episode that's out right now, the new one I just uploaded, is about a guy who was he had a UFO encounter, and he's turned into a UFO investigator. So, but that's Paranormalish. It's on the iHeart app. It's on Spotify. It's on most platforms. If anybody has an encounter, just like with you guys, just hit us up, and I'd love to get you on. As a matter of fact, I'd love to get you on with your stories about, you know, how you grew up and the experiences you had. So one of these days, I want to hook that up. But yeah, that's me.
Absolutely.
In a nutshell.
Absolutely. Anytime, just let me know. But no, that was perfect. I was actually going to ask you if you ask any of the artists if they've had any paranormal experiences. And since you have, what was the most interesting story that you've heard from these artists and singers?
Okay, I got there's so many, but here's one that I forget the specifics. Got so many in my head. Let me go with. This is an episode of Paranormalish. There was an artist that came in. She's an actress named Francia Reisa. She's on Grownish, I think, right? She came into the studio. She's super cool, and she came in for an interview. We were talking about, you know, whatever, and she brought her two sisters with her. She has two younger sisters, and they said, JoJo, we know that you love the paranormal, and we've got something for you. I'm like, oh my God, what's up? So they told me like a quick, you know, this is, you know, in the main studio. There's a couple of studios up there.
Mm-hmm.
They told me the short version of the story. I'm like, oh my God. So I said, once we got off the radio, we ran down the hall to the studio where I record all the podcasts at. I said, grab your headphones, let's go. And they told me this story, and this is one of the most, I mean, something about this. They, you know, they were younger at the time. The three girls, you know, of course, you know,
mm-hmm.
mom and dad and grandma lived in the house in Northridge, which, if you're not listening from LA, it's in the valley, if that makes any sense to you guys. But these three girls lived in the house, once again, mom, dad, grandma. Grandma, she had diabetes, I think it was diabetes, and she would, you know, in and out of the hospital from time to time. And some at a certain point, grandma passed. And obviously the family was just crushed, you know, but they didn't want to tell the kids that grandma had passed. So they didn't. The kids didn't know. They were about 7, 8, or 9. The kids did not know that grandma passed until about a year after she had passed away. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so a week after she passed was, you know, they had the funeral, you know. Once again, kids didn't know. About a week after she had passed, one of the daughters, it wasn't Francia, but it was her youngest sister, I believe. Mom calls upstairs and says, hey, come down for dinner. Keep in mind, they have no idea that grandma, they just thought she was with a relative or in the hospital or staying with aunt or uncle so-and-so, because she wasn't always in the house. She was kind of back and forth. So they had no idea. Mm-hmm. Mom calls upstairs, hey, time for dinner. Come down. And the daughter said, I can't come down. I'm braiding grandmother's hair. Can you?
Wow.
I mean, granted, let's take everything into consideration. She was a little kid, you know, who knows what she was, I don't know. But she had no idea grandmother had passed, but there she was with something in her hands, hair, and there's her grandmother, and she's braiding it. It blew me away. It is just, it's crazy. And I've bumped into her from time to time, and I want to get her back on to go even more in depth, even though we covered it. But I just find that story mind bending. Do you guys know the artist Nino Halsey?
Yeah, Halsey. I love her.
Yeah, she's awesome. She told me this story. She was a little kid, and she, you know, little kids walk around singing things, mm-hmm. you know, like little songs and whatnot and rhymes and everything. Just, you know, kids are kids. What she would walk yeah. around, her thing was, when she was young, I don't know, I'm guessing, you know, 6, 7, 8, who knows, but she would walk around and she'd recite this number. It was like her thing. 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's not the number. I'm just making that
mm-hmm.
up. 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, and she would walk around singing that song. It was just, you know, it might as well have been the lyrics to a song, but it just happened to be numbers. Well, one of her aunts,
yeah.
she did that for quite a while. One of her aunts came over, you know, her mom's sister came over, and she hears little Halsey singing 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1. And her aunt looked at her mom and says, "Do you know what that is?" And her mom's like, "I have no idea." She goes, "That's our grandmother's old phone number." And,
oh, wow.
I started asking, I've talked to her several times about this. Like, is there any way you could have known? Like, would there have been a post-it note somewhere to call grandma? Granted, but it was she mm-hmm. had passed way before she was born. So I can't think of any rational reason why she would have this number in her head, but she would walk around 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, and she has no explanation for it. And she never saw her grandmother in a vision. I don't think that's just that number. How she got it? Have you guys ever come across anything like that? Because that's the only story I've heard similar to that.
I mean, I haven't had that experience with a family member. I have one that my parents won't let me live down. They were dealing with a cold case, and they showed this photo of the man who died, and I said, "Oh, he's a tattoo artist," because I saw tattoo drawings in the background of his photo. And they said, "How did you know that?" I said, "There's tattoo drawings in the background of his photo." And they go, "No, there's not. I saw sketches of tattoo photos in the background of his photo." And they are very adamant that there was not, is not any photos that would tell me that he was a tattoo artist.
What the heck? Did they think you were just like, did they realize that you had this gift, or was that in the early stages of learning that you had this gift?
Well, I say I'm a sensitive. I don't say I'm psychic, but they like to say I'm psychic, so they won't let me live that down. So,
wow.
But that was a weird
It was a cold
a
case somebody sent me.
They don't
wow.
believe me that I saw tattoo photos in the background. There's like, there's no way that you saw that or knew that. And I'm like, I saw the tattoo sketches in the background.
That is straight up wild. Yeah, okay, I have to get you on and talk about some of these stories. That is nuts. Shut me up when you need to, but
I've never said that on air before because I don't like to admit it, but it's just when you hear someone like Halsey has it too, you can't help but admit it because
why not?
Seeing
yeah.
other people have
You're
it.
You're the ghost host.
Like,
I mean, come on. Well, why not?
it's incredible everything that people experience.
It is crazy. Ryan Tedder, if you know the artist, he's mm-hmm. the lead singer
yeah.
of One Republic. He writes for everybody. He told me when he was a little kid, and he's a very, you know, the way he describes himself is he kind of has to see it to believe it. He's very science-based, you know, and whatnot. And he's been like that, you know, very logical. And he was a young kid. And he woke up early one morning, and it wasn't like a sleep paralysis thing. He was up. His alarm went up. His cat was jumping on him, you know. He was up. And he sees this light coming. He thinks this is an angel sighting. He sees this light coming from the other room, like this glaring, powerful light. And by the way, this experience that I'm explaining here, this lasted, I think he said, around 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't like a on and gone kind of a thing. Light shining from the other room. So he pulls the covers over his head. Is this thing real? Am I really experiencing this? You know, he wants to make sure he's not losing it. Covers back off. Light's still there. He walks in the room finally, and he sees this being in his house, and it looks like a, you know, like a man figure, once again glowing light, and he's just
mm-hmm.
floored. It's just almost in shock, but he's watching this thing, and his sister in the other room starts to wake up and kind of move around. She, you know, you can hear her kind of clanking and banking, and this light figure, angel, if you will, you could see the angel move and look to the room like he's acknowledging, I heard that too. Looks over there, kind of looks back towards Ryan, and then this light, whew, right through the top of the ceiling, just shot up.
Wow.
And freaked him out to the point. He ran to his mom's room screaming, you'll never guess what I saw. He told her what it was, and she whips on a piece of paper and a little pen and said, I want you to write down what you saw, everything, write it now.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked her, why do you want me to do this? Because I don't want, and her answer was, I don't want you to talk yourself out of what you saw, you know, when you get older. And she still has that piece of paper. So that's a crazy one. I mean, it's something about that one. I would love to have more angel encounter stories. You know, that's just, and knowing Ryan, I've known him for
yeah.
a little while. He's very logical. Like I said, he's not like, you know, he's not, his main goal in life is not to get on my paranormalish podcast. You know, he's just telling me a story.
Yeah.
And I was just floored by that. The Stanley Hotel. I mentioned the Stanley Hotel a little while back.
Mm-hmm.
I went out there for, I think it was October 2018, I guess it was. Pre-pandemic, you know, back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
I went out there to, we were doing it was a movie junket for Dr. Sleep, the sequel to The Shining. And so they put, you
yeah.
know, several of us up. They put a lot of influencers in there and me being the radio kind of dude. And they put us up in the Stanley Hotel, and we saw the movie, and we met the director, all the usual stuff when it comes to those junkets, which I don't do a ton of movie junkets.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely do them, but the fact that it was the Stanley Hotel and, you know, Dr. Sleep, I was all in it. Just
you're
because
like, suddenly I do movie junkets.
Yeah, I'm like, I really, you know, those movie junkets are so, I mean, not to sound like a whiny, you know, but they're so impersonal. Like I really get, maybe I've been spoiled a bit, you know, thankfully for a lot of interviews with a lot of artists where it's just me and them sitting there and talking, and I've developed a lot of relationships. Well, these movie junkets, it's like six or seven people sitting around a table talking to someone. I'm like, yeah, I'm not a big fan of that, you know, but you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. They're still very fun. This one was different. This one, I sat there, you know, and granted, I shouldn't say all movie junkets are like that, but it's something, yeah, they aren't my thing. I'll leave it at that. But this one
yeah.
was, you got to, they put you in the Stanley Hotel, and which is just, that's all they had to do. Stanley Hotel, I'm done. That's perfect. A buddy of mine came with me. And when you go to the Stanley Hotel, there's the main hotel, which is the one everybody talks about. Then they have another one, which is just about as big. I forget what they call it. Maybe it's the, if you look it up, but it's a, we'll call it Stanley Hotel
mm-hmm.
number two, but they call it something else. Maybe it's the,
yeah.
whatever it is. He got stuck in there. Well, not stuck in there. He got placed in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all excited. We're, you know, we're getting there and we're getting set up and everything. Well, he goes to bed one night. And nothing, you know, I saw some things I found kind of odd there. That was an interesting hotel. But he gets in kind of late. His plane showed up a little late. He got in late. He goes to put his stuff up, and he's in his room. And he opens the drawer and puts some socks and shirts in and shuts the drawer, and he turns around and starts to do whatever. And then he notices that the drawer is open. So he thought, well,
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I shut that drawer. Let me go shut it again. So he shuts the drawer, goes about his business, comes back, drawer is open again. And this is a drawer they're not the easiest to open. They're old, you know, drawers. It's not like a roller track. It was just, you know, wooden track. So, okay, he's on alert now. He realizes that this, am
mm-hmm.
I crazy or is something happening? So, and he's a, you know, not that this is important, but he's a pretty big guy. He works out a lot. Strong dude.
Mm-hmm.
He can clearly slam a drawer. So he goes to the drawer, and as he tells me, he slams the drawer with intent. Then he goes to bed. He wakes up in the middle of the night, kind of, you know, I guess, you know, that wasn't top of mind. Just goes to bed, wakes up in the middle of the night,
yeah.
goes to the restroom, bumps into the drawer that's open. So he's like, okay. He sits in bed at that point, you know, after he runs to the restroom. He sits in bed
mm-hmm.
and has a conversation with the room. He says, look, I hope I'm not disturbing you. Would you allow me to stay here? And he does this thing, whatever it is. He said he had a 20-minute conversation with the room and shut the drawer, and it didn't open anymore. And that was the Stanley Hotel. Once again, not the main hotel, but the one right next to it. And I find that obviously fascinating. And the hotel itself, the stories speak for themselves. But
yeah.
How wild is that?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's just the little things like that, that like you sitting in a graveyard when you were younger, it leads you to paranormalish when you're older. The little experiences with the Stanley led to The Shining. I mean, you never know what little things or experiences that people will have over and over that will kind of change your course in life. I know we have to take a quick commercial break, though, but we'll be right back with more questions.
Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporoli on liveparanormal.com. Any questions in the chat room? Make sure they're all caps. Yeah, Tommy Two Tones in the chat room. He said his grandmother, Jenny, he kept singing her number, 8675309, all the time. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporoli on liveparanormal.com. We welcome 102.7 KISS FM broadcaster and paranormalish iHeart radio host, JoJo Wright. Everyone visit paranormalish.com. That's paranormalish.com. Twitter and Instagram at JoJo Wright, at official JoJo Wright. And, of course, you can stream, too, for a show. And congratulations on the afternoon drive coming up. That's kissfm.iheart.com, YouTube search, The Adventures of JoJo. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporoli, only on liveparanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
From Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporoli, on liveparanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporoli, on liveparanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know? It's almost like we didn't leave break.
And poor Dave left out of the voiceovers there. Okay, still trying to unmute here. Here we go. A little bit of lag in the studio. Okay, JoJo, we have you back with Sophia.
There we go. Hey, good. Hey, by the way, nice to meet you as well. How did you guys meet each other?
He's my father.
That's your dad? Yeah, oh, my God.
Dad.
Pop, what's up?
I've known her longer than anybody else.
Wow.
Yeah,
you can tell.
Quite a while.
Now, when she started having these, you know, the – psychic, for lack of a better word, visions and whatnot, where you're like, my daughter is nuts.
Well, yeah, I didn't believe her at first. I co-authored a book with Peter James, who founded the Queen Mary Tours and was on sightings. And then while I was putting that book together, as a kid, she started seeing things and describing things. But then when other people verified it, that visited the house and my wife would walk in and out of cold spots, you know. And then, yeah, people sent me cold cases that I'd kind of organize with other psychics that would kind of remote view. And what she saw, you know, just that person, that quick story about the person with the sleeve tattoos, that was from the early 90s when not a lot of people had that. And he kind of had little Mandela things on his wall. And she's like, oh, he's a tattoo artist. And then she goes, the person that sent you that picture knows more than they're saying. And then sure enough, I get a flood of all the other psychics writing me going, that person knows more than they're saying about this. And so, yeah, you know, so that's what turned me.
Oh, that's crazy. And do I know you? Have we met?
Probably on Twitter.
What's your name on Twitter?
It's her Ghost Host official, Ghost Host Show site. And, you know, putting a bunch of links and promoting the show. And I'm on there as Peter James Lives. That's the person I co-authored the book for.
Yeah,
that's your dad's secret name. It's your dad's undercover social handle there.
Yeah,
everything.
The book
he's
and everything.
Either He's like, usually Peter James lives. And when he started on social media, a lot of people didn't know Peter James had died. So they'd be like, Peter. And he's like, yeah, I'm not him. And I'm like, wow, the original catfish.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that is good. Catfish. Well, nice to meet you.
Yeah,
and yeah, nice to meet both of you guys. Of course, I just met Sophia just a couple of days ago. And it was just, you know, now I'm on a radio show. So who knew?
Yeah. And speaking of how excited you were to go to the Stanley, what other locations would you love to go to? And what is kind of like the top of your bucket list of paranormal locations?
I think the number one thing on my bucket list, and I want to go to Dracula's Castle in Transylvania.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I keep trying to convince my wife, you know, granted, pre-pandemic, I can't leave the backyard now, but I want to go to Transylvania and spend some time at Dracula's Castle. Of course, you know, she wants to go to the Four Seasons and get a massage, you know, so that those two things don't line up as well. But I would love to go there and just to the history, granted it's a terrible history, but just to go there and see it. And if they would allow me to stay there, I mean, to stay there for a night alone, who knows what that would cost, but that would be exciting. I talked to, you probably know the singer Charlie Puth, but he has a younger brother. Yeah, Charlie's younger brother is, I think it's Stephen. I've only met him once, and he was. We got to talking about this, and somehow Dracula's Castle came up. And he said, "Dude, JoJo, I've been there." I'm like, "Shit, what?" And he went to Dracula's Castle, and you can stay there. And he was explaining this guy who was trying to get him to go down into a basement, you know, because it's a creepy basement. And the way he described this guy seemed like, I was watching this, you know, one of these ghost shows and the travel shows, like we all do. And he described the guy that I had saved a little clip from the, you know, on my DVR. Like, I want to go there. I want to see this. And basically, he met the guy that I was watching on TV. Kind of a creepy looking dude. But yeah, I want to go there. So Dracula's Castle. I would love to go to. Although I've been here, I want to go to. I would like to have full run of the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose. But kind of do it like we did the Queen Mary. Where we, you know, you can get in there and have full run of it with nobody there, and I don't think that would be too hard to work out. I mean, but that's another one on my list. You'd love to do Alcatraz at some point, you know, late at night when it's closed. That'd be exciting.
Absolutely.
I mean, that would be
my parents got to do that. I'm extremely jealous. Well, I didn't get to go. I was 9. I'm sorely butthurt over it. But they caught, I'll send you it on Twitter, but they caught this amazing photo of a ghost in one of the hallways. I mean, it looks like a person wearing a prisoner outfit, an orange long sleeve t-shirt, khaki pants. It's a really great photo. But yeah, it was so cool. My parents said it was like a Scooby-Doo night. My mom was talking to one of the ghosts. I don't really remember what she was saying, but every time she would talk to it, like a heavy metal door would like slam open and close. It had like a lock on it. And they said when they were there, it was in September of like 2009 or something. It was like there was a bunch of thunder and wind. So they said it was like Scooby-Doo and it was raining. So they got like the coolest experience ever for it. But that's what I recall. I don't know if you have anything to add, Dad.
No, it was just, in between there was just amazing amount of just calm too. And then like kind of in the eye of the storm, then after about 45 minutes and pick up again. But yes, your mom was in the kitchen area and talking through the mess hall. There was a little door with a latch and it just started shaking. And you know, when she'd stop talking and stop and it was totally still, then she'd say, "Hey guy, what are you up to over there?" And then it'd start shaking and banging.
Mom has no fear. She'll totally ask a ghost if they want to hit on her. She's no fear.
Wow, man. Yeah, that is serious. Alcatraz, I mean, if any place is haunted, you would think that would be, you know, right near the top of the list for sure. That place, I mean, that the awful things that happened there over the years, the agony, the mental, I mean, it's just bad from top to bottom. I would love to go hang there, you know, for sure.
Yeah, we got great, EVP and music notes. Go ahead.
Didn't it used to be Native American land before it was a prison as well?
Yeah. And then also, too, Eric, when you've had Formosi Soul Searchers on your show, he said he goes during the day, And so many people have those headsets in taking that audio tour that he says you can actually investigate during the day because nobody makes a sound. They're just wandering around, just quietly wandering around.
Interesting. Although I do like it, you know, and granted, I guess the theory ghosts are going to be there day or night, but there's something about being mm-hmm. in a location at night that's just, you know, puts you on edge a bit more, which I love. But yeah, Alcatraz definitely. There's so many places to go. I mean, this, and some of the more frightening places are the ones that aren't the more well known. The little house that the unknown lady lives in, you know, residences.
Yeah.
Those are some of the scary ones as well. But yeah, certainly the more, you know, the Winchester mystery houses, the Dracula's castle. That's my plan to when we can get off this pandemic to really start to branch out and do some more investigations at some of the more well known spots and just start really diving into the investigation side of things with the podcast.
Right.
Absolutely. And when you go on these investigations, is there anything you do as means of protection before, during, or after?
I've done some investigations with a friend. Speaking of some of the radio investigations, there's a guy named Rob Ladarsky mm-hmm. who is quite the character. He's written books in the paranormal
yeah.
world, and he's a mess. He's so funny and just crazy, but he gets real serious when it's investigation time. But he turned me on. He has this prayer that he does before we go in, and we'll do one before we go in, and then when we come out, to say don't follow us home type thing. He's done that for me for the investigations over the last 16, 17, 18, whatever years. But when I start mm-hmm. doing it with paranormalish, you know, I need to either get that prayer down or do my own because I think that's
yeah.
important. And I think there's been times where you can things will follow you. I've had mm-hmm. times where I've left investigations where, and I've been a night owl my whole life. Just I've done the radio shift at night for the longest time, so I'm just naturally wired. And at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock, I'm still just on 10. But you do these investigations, mm-hmm. and then you leave, and maybe it is just typical. Oh my God, I'm tired. But I do think that something drains you that's more than just the typical. And I've left these investigations and can't keep my eyes open. It's just like you almost have to pull off to the side of the road because I'm just so drained. Kind of like you do these paranormal investigations and your flashlights, your tech drains. Same things with your body at times. It would just suck the life out of me. So I think these prayers before you leave certainly, I think, helps. So that's one of the things I do to protect. And I'm quite the spiritual guy as well. So there, I feel like I'm protected, mm-hmm. but a little prayer going in and coming out ain't going to hurt.
For sure. I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but are there any websites, upcoming interviews, or events that you would like to mention?
Well, I guess, do I have time for one more story? Any final story?
Yeah, really quick.
Give me a countdown. I'll make this thing quick, but there's one story that I came across. Mm-hmm. It's on my podcast, Paranormalish, which you can follow me. Just all the websites you need to know are just follow me on Instagram and Twitter, JoJo Wright. Instagram and Twitter, JoJo Wright, and my podcast is Paranormalish on most platforms. So look me up, come say what's up. But I talked to this guy. He was he's a businessman. He didn't want me to use his name, but he was one of the big CEOs of one of the clients that I endorsed at Kiss FM. Great guy.
Mm-hmm.
His mom worked at a hospice. And she was the head nurse at this hospice for quite some time. And she saw some wild encounters throughout the years. But the one that stuck in my head, there was a man that was about to pass. And, you know, they can always tell when it's getting kind of close. And his wife
yeah.
came to visit. So she's in there talking to, you know, her husband. And
mm-hmm.
his mom, the head nurse, and her assistant walked in to check on him. And they walked back out, you know, and they looked at each other like, did you see that? I saw that. The lady comes out after talking to her husband, and they said, are you fine? Is everything cool? Everything's great. Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. Final question, who was the man at the end of the bed praying? They saw a man. They thought that maybe it was an uncle, you know, a friend, a brother, praying at the end of the bed. But the lady
mm-hmm.
and both of the nurses saw it. But the lady said, I have no idea what you're talking about. What did you see? What the heck?
Wow.
I mean, it's just, that's one of the stories that really kind of sends chills. Kind of scary, but kind of comforting in a way, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
But Who was the man praying at the end of the bed? Who knows?
Definitely. Well, it's been such a great show. I want to thank you so much for coming on today. I would love to have you back on in the future. And, yeah, thank you so much again for coming on. It was great meeting you at the ship.
It's my pleasure. Have me on anytime. I'll jump at the chance, and I'd love to have you on my show, Paranormalish. And anybody else who wants to hit me up, yeah, Twitter, Instagram, JoJo Wright, Paranormalish on the iHeart app or any app, really, just Paranormalish the podcast. And thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Wow,
well, thank
you
so much. Have a great rest of your weekend, JoJo.
You too. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, JoJo. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah, JoJo Wright. Well, fantastic show today, Sophia.
Definitely, JoJo was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week with Chris Starr. Bye.
Gosh, you got an invite on his show. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We're going to get fantastic feedback on this, by the way. But, yeah, you can also streaming live, too, and he'll be on the afternoons upcoming, too, as well. So congratulations to JoJo on that on 102.7 KISS FM. So that's kissfm.iheart.com to stream and listen to JoJo. But as he mentioned, paranormalish.com, that's paranormalish.com. And Twitter and Instagram, simply JoJo Wright. Coming up, we have Travel Channel's Ghost Loop Key Paranormal Investigators. Chris Starr will be on the program on the 12th. Also, pretty effing spooky YouTube and TikTok sensation, Amanda Paulson. And she's going to be speaking ghost with Sophia. Coming up after the holidays, and also during the holidays, we'll be playing archive shows. So she will be on the 9th, first guest of 2021. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interactive Media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.